even in the opening parts of the meeting, have your theology stretched as mine has been already this morning as I'm now contemplating the chicken drumstick of the Spirit. Thank you, Annie. So as Susan said in the introduction, it's been a busy few months. I became the CEO of Lynx International in October 2010, and 2.5 years ago. And last year in particular was very busy in terms of actually visiting different nations. I travelled about 94,500 miles, which is just over 3.5 times around the globe. I don't say that to impress you, because the reality is that could just give me a really rubbish carbon footprint. And I could just fly a lot of miles, but by the grace of God, I've been privileged to see some of the impact of what we've been able to do, and that is just so encouraging. And one thing, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, can I just repeat something I did say in the seminar? By the way, that's a really great introduction, Susan. Here is a man whose seminar I didn't bother to go and listen to. I commend him to you. Anyway, thanks for the line, Chris. No, it's fine. Sorry, I got that line from Chris. But one thing I did say in that seminar, which is it would be my aspiration now, I wouldn't always have said this, I'll say a little bit more about that maybe a bit later, but it would be my aspiration now that every single member of every single church in the Pioneer family of churches at some point goes to a different nation to see what God is doing there. So there we go. There's the challenge for you all, whatever age you are. I am currently just coming up to my... How old am I? Just coming up to my 56th birthday. Young, middle-aged, older, don't rule yourself out. If you haven't had that opportunity, do try and pursue something, because it will change your life and it will give you fresh insights and revelation of what God can do and will do both through you and in the lives of the people you're going to meet. I got back from northern India last Sunday evening. From northern India. I'm going to southern India this coming Tuesday. I never thought that would be me. If you'd asked me 3.5 years ago if that would have been me, I would have said, no, you've got the wrong Andy from Maidenhead. You're talking about Andy Rackstraw, which some of you know that's also true of him. But as we were in the prayer meeting this morning, one of the things that seemed to kind of be impressed on us that, prayer meetings aren't just about us talking to God, they're about us hearing from God. And one of the things that seemed to come through as we were listening and talking and praying was God speaking that this morning he wants to write fresh pages in people's lives. The Bible talks about God as being the author of our faith. And, that isn't that there is a book that is already completely written with every I dotted and every T crossed. There are blank pages and there are things he is writing even this morning. And there are new pages he wants to write in your life going forward from today. So my encouragement to you is be open to those fresh pages. As I said, 3.5 years ago, I would never have believed I would have been doing what I am currently doing. There were fresh pages to be written in my life. There still are. There's fresh pages to be written in your life. And they might not be the pages that you are expecting. In fact, it might not even be the book you're expecting. But there are fresh things to be written this morning. In all of that travel, I have seen many different aspects of culture. Many things that you go to and it all feels a little bit strange. If you were to buy a second-hand car in this country that was a few years old, it would be possible that there would be one feature of that car that in this country may never, ever have been used. I'm referring, of course, polite drivers as we are in this country, so we think, to the horn. Is that true? When was the last time you used your horn, not by accident, if you sort of leant on it? At times when I've wanted to use my horn, I've hit the wrong part of the steering wheel, because I haven't actually been that familiar about where the horn is on my steering wheel. Beloved, I was in northern India a couple of weeks ago. Can I just look around the room for those with knowing looks? Thank you, sir. Yes. That would not happen in India, would it? No. It is an essential feature of the car, the horn. And if they had driving tests, they'd probably tell you how to do it. But anyway, sorry, I'm just talking the truth here, aren't I? There we go. Yes. The horn, it's actually impolite not to use the horn. If you're overtaking someone, you should be using the horn to tell people where you... I'm looking at my friends here, yes? To tell people where you are and that you're going to go past. The trucks, the lorries, have on the back, horn please. This is a cultural difference. And when you first go, it does kind of hit you quite immediately that when you get back, the road seems so quiet. Eerily quiet. Now, that's a trivial thing, but it is actually to do with culture. It is actually to do with lifestyle. And to some extent, maybe, is to do with values. As though I say, I'm not wanting to make a value judgment because we think it's impolite to sound the horn. There, it's impolite not to sound the horn. One of the things that has hit me as I've gone around these different nations has been how much of my values and my lifestyle just comes out of my culture, the way I've been brought up. And that's often neither positive, negative, right or wrong. Sometimes there is a black and white, right, wrong aspect to it. The driving on the Indian roads has a very good effect on my walk with Jesus because it improves my prayer life. And in this Lent series, I will get to my point, don't worry. In this Lent series that we're in, we're encouraging each other, aren't we, to consider again where we're getting our values from, how we're living the lives we're living, to reassess our discipleship, our big long word meaning just how we're following Jesus. And the aim is to open ourselves afresh to the transforming power of God. And in the few minutes I have left after my introduction, that's actually what I want to encourage us all to do, to just look afresh at this thing, kingdom lifestyle. And I've called it A Tale of Two Cities, because we're going to look at two cities very briefly from the Bible to help us in that. And then right at the end, just point towards a tool which some of us, not all of us, some of us might find helpful in this Lent period in looking at afresh our discipleship, at our lifestyle, a bit of an audit, personal audit if you like. And it might, I'm sorry Kerry, it might do more for us than giving up chocolate. So I wonder if this clicker actually works. It does. Okay, so let's, if we've got a Bible, look at Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at all of verse 27. If you haven't got a Bible, as I always say, now is a good time to rummage under your chair as if you're sure it must be there somewhere. Always looks so much better than just shrugging your shoulders. Get out your phone. Get out your iPad. You can always catch up with your emails then as well. So, in the beginning of this book, it is, of course, a letter, and Paul is writing to this church in Philippi, and he's been kind of talking about the things that have been happening to himself and catching up with the stuff that's been happening to them. And then we reach this verse, which I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul is encouraging his readers that they should live out this kingdom lifestyle, this following of Jesus, in a way that is worthy. But it's interesting, if you drill down, and forgive me if you've heard me say this before, but if you drill down into what the original language in the Greek says there, there's a very interesting word that gets used in this bit where it says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. So first of all, let's just consider, Philippia, for some reason, lost in the translation of the PowerPoint, apologies there. Philippi. Philippi was a Roman colony. This is where he's writing to. That meant that they had certain rights. The people, if you were born in Philippi, you had certain rights. A Roman colony had this thing called libitas, which meant that they had a certain amount of self-government. Immunitas, they were immune from imperial taxes. And the bit I'm not even going to try and pronounce meant that they had the same rights as Italian citizens. So if you were born in Philippi, this was a big deal. You know, you were still part of the Roman Empire, but you have more rights than just, you know, as if you had just been taken over by the occupying power. And it's interesting that in Acts 16, Paul visits Philippi and the church gets born out of that. And it's there, if you remember the story, he gets thrown into prison and then demands that, you know, they just want to kind of dispose of him the next day and send him on his way. And he says, no, I need to see the magistrates because I've been thrown into prison unjustly and punished and I'm a Roman citizen. And they understood that. They understood how badly they'd got it wrong to treat a Roman citizen in that way. So the inhabitants of Philippi were very proud. It was a prosperous city. And they were very proud of this status that they had as Roman citizens. Now the word that gets used in verse 27 is politeuomai, which literally means to behave as a citizen. Where Paul says, walk worthy of the gospel, walk worthy of the kingdom of heaven, he is saying, behave as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Inhabitants of Philippi, you understand what it means to be a Roman citizen. You have great pride in that. You're proud of your city, its prosperity, and all that's going for it. But, says Paul, I want to challenge you not to look first at your citizenship in the Roman Empire, but to look at your citizenship in the kingdom of God. Behave as a citizen of the kingdom of God. I've got one of these things. It is a UK passport. It's quite pretty inside, actually. Lots of nice visa stamps and so on. You can come and have a look at it if you like afterwards. It's really thrilling. But it's actually quite an important document. When you're traveling, you want to make sure that you keep hold of this as much as possible and you don't let it out of your sight, because without it, you are a little bit stuffed. This is my citizenship. But Paul's words to me would be, okay, Andy, you're a UK passport holder with all that that entails, but conduct yourself, walk worthy of citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. And we could talk about us having dual citizenship, but actually, even that maybe loses some of the power. So yeah, maybe we've got dual citizenship, whatever passport you hold, and citizenship of the kingdom of heaven. But I believe that Paul here is challenging us to say, first and foremost, before all other things, our values, our culture, the way we live our life should come from our citizenship of the kingdom of God. So that's the first city, Philippi. And that challenge to behave as citizens of God's kingdom before all else. And the second city is a place called Laodicea. And as I say that, one or two of you, your hearts are sinking, aren't they? Because you know where Laodicea gets referred to. But be of good cheer. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it for the moment. Laodicea also was a prosperous city in the first century. It benefited from being in a very advantageous position. It was on a trade route. I think it was probably at the confluence of different roads. And basically, because of that, it became, again, a very prosperous city. It was one of the most important and flourishing commercial cities of Asia Minor. And this was not a Roman colony, but this was something else technical. This was a Roman free city, which meant it had its own laws, it was able to follow its own customs, it had its own magistrates, and it was free from having Roman guards. So, Laodicea, like Philippi, the inhabitants would have been very proud of their status. Very proud of being in a flourishing trade position. And by the way, that was true of Philippi as well. Prosperous. Laodicea. Does that kind of sound familiar at all to any of us in terms of being on major routes and being prosperous? And, you know, Laodicea would have had the European IT headquarters of places around abouts. And we hear about Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. In the letters to the churches contained at the beginning of the book of Revelation. And Laodicea isn't, at first glance, one of the places that we would want to be in when they are written to by the Spirit of God. Let's just listen to what it says. Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 14, follow it if you like. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things say the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Always good when you get words like vomit in the Bible, isn't it? "Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, have need of nothing." Do you see the context of this? With the city of Laodicea and all that they took pride in. "And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked." And if we think that maybe some of what was true of Laodicea in terms of its status and what people took pride in has any resonance for us, these words are all the more sobering, aren't they? "I counsel you to buy from me." You see, before I go on, this passage is often seen purely as a passage about judgment. And yes, there's judgment there. But there's a "so then" contained here. Because all this is true, here's what God wants to say to them. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be told off and thoroughly chastised." No, that you may be rich. "And white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold," ooh, this bit's here as well, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and tell him off because you know. And dine with him, and he with me." Anyone feel like having a feast with the Lord today? "To him who overcomes." Oh, this sounds like we've got to knuckle down and overcome. "Well, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame." Guys, says Jesus, "I did it. You can do it." "As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." This is a passage of so much grace, of so much hope, of so much love. One of the things we do when we go to some of the poorer nations, rural situations in Africa and wherever, is we do community healthcare training. One of the things we talk about is the importance of food safety. One of the things I have learned is how dangerous lukewarm food can be. It's toxic if stuff is not cooked properly. So is it surprising that lukewarm stuff gets vomited out? It's toxic. It's toxic for ourselves. Lukewarmness is toxic for ourselves. And Father is saying, I just wish you were hot or cold. I wish you were clear whether you are citizens of Philippi or citizens of the kingdom of God. I wish you were clear whether you are taking your pride in living in a free city or as being part of my kingdom. I wish you were clear about whether your pride is that you're a UK passport holder, Andy, and live in a nice, prosperous Thames Valley area, or that you're part of my family, living with my values, my culture, my lifestyle. God sees that if we're just relying on our own culture and lifestyle and values, it's like the emperor's new clothes. We think we're rich and clothed and wealthy, and actually we're naked and we're wretched. Walking along like the emperor in his new clothes, actually naked, thinking we've got it all together. And even in this, God says he wants to reason with us. I counsel you. That's the force of that. I want to reason with you. I wish this wasn't the case, says God. I wish you weren't in this mess. I advise you. I consult with you. And then he provides the answers. Buy from me. But if you, again, you look at the Greek word there, it can mean redeem. When you redeem something, you're getting something which has already been obtained for you. Redeem from me all that is your inheritance, says God. Gold to make us rich, white clothes, eye salve to see. Those I love, I correct and train, is a perfectly reasonable translation. And my message this morning is really very simple in this tale of two cities. Let's go for this fully, 100%. Let's be clear where our citizenship is, where our values come from, and therefore the lifestyle that we live. Kerry, a couple of weeks ago, in an outstanding talk, which if you didn't hear it, please go onto the website and listen to it. And if you did hear it, go and listen to it again. That we can find release from the slavery of this world, the slavery of Philippi and Laodicea, that we look on as being so much privilege and actually can end up as slavery. And we can be transformed. The scales are there because here's our choice. We can rely on our own culture, but it just ends up as emperor's new clothes. Or we can fully throw ourselves into kingdom culture, and that is a place of abundance. Lent, we often look at as a time of denial. But actually, this is an opportunity for us to enter into greater abundance as we're transformed. I said we just wanted to look quickly at the end at one tool that might help us in this. Some of you will be familiar with the heart life, as it is now, if we're talking about a church context. Indicator. I'll put at the end up the web address. You can go and find out more about this. But this is just simply a way of us assessing afresh. If we imagine a line, and above the line is behavior and lifestyle to do with kingdom culture, and actually that's the most effective, and below the line is ineffectiveness of the things of our own culture. And as you build the model up, it becomes more complicated, not really complicated, just more depth to it, with different ways of assessing the way we're living our lives. We're living lives of humility and love above the line, or lives of pride and fear below the line. If you've never looked at anything like this, I would just say maybe this is a way you could be freshly assessing where your lifestyle is going and what values and what culture is actually shaping it. And I just point you towards it. The new website address is this. But as I close, and in a moment it's going to be handing back to Susan, I just want to give one opportunity this morning just for us to respond together. Because as I was praying this morning, I really felt strongly that for some of us here this morning, we just need that opportunity to break away from stuff that has been dragging us down. And even in this last 7 days, there's been times where you have teetered so close to falling below the line, and you know really in your heart you're in a bit of a lukewarm position right now. And the invitation of Father is that, you know, Jesus says he stands on the other side of that door and he's just waiting for you to open it. And that's not just a verse for people who don't know Jesus, although if you're in that position, that's certainly true this morning. But for all of us, there's that opportunity to allow him in afresh. So if I could just ask if we could all stand together. And the band can come back. If Angela and John and Tay could come back. And we're going to go into a time of worship and then I think into sharing bread and wine together. But as the guys start worshipping, that heart life indicator has a very simple beginning of a line to be crossed. From below the line of relying on our own culture and our own strength, and above the line of looking to Jesus and his values and living fully for kingdom. And it could be that in some area you just need to cross that line afresh today. So if that's you, I want to encourage you just to find a space in the room as we're worshipping. Imagine a line in front of you and take a step of faith across that line. And God will meet you and bring greater transformation.